Weekdays, Tan Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Cars Unlimited Auto Repair, Pinellas County's number one full-service automotive repair shop. They specialize in brakes, tires, transmissions, tune-ups, alternators, and more. You can get a full synthetic oil change for $49.99 and a free 40-point inspection. Visit them online at carsunlimitedautorepair.com. Give them a call at 727-375-3499 or visit the shop at 12651 62nd Street in Largo. Cars Unlimited Auto Repair.
You'll never leave hungry when you visit Fat Jack's Sandwich Shop in Palm Harbor. Whether it's burgers, wings, hoagies, specialty sandwiches, or anything else on their large menu, you'll be coming back for more. Stop in or let them cater your next event. Call 727-408-5425 or visit them at 34720 US Highway 19 North in Palm Harbor. Order online at fatjacksjaxs.com. That's fatjacks.com. Or you can even use Uber. Find Fat Jack's coupon in the BCC coupon book.
Hey Tampa Bay, do you have a cleaning project that needs to get done? Give Keith's Cleaning Service a call, 727-470-5071 for honest, hardworking, and tenacious service from Keith's Cleaning Service. Call now for a quote, 727-470-5071. That's 727-470-5071 for Keith's Cleaning Service. Some of the best cleaning services in Tampa Bay.
It's time for the Brian Cash Claus Show. Stay tuned to learn about the great deals you can find in the BCC coupon book. Now, here's the host with the most, Brian Cash Claus, and his very special guest.
I guess that's you.
And surprise, everyone, it's not Brian after all. We have an impromptu host today. My name is Harriet Fuller, and I represent Trees for You, a local tree service company that gets the job done right the first time. And I have here with me today three guests, and I think I'll start with you, sir. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little about who you are and what you do?
Hello, my name is Alan Mayberry, and I'm an arborist. And I was actually here a couple of weeks ago talking with Brian, and I work for Trees for You, and I also I'm retired, recently retired, but I worked for years around Clearwater for the city and looking at trees. That's what I do, and right now I help out John and Fuller, who we're going to introduce in a minute, and Harriet at Trees for You. And I assess trees. I look at trees for people and look at their health, look at their structure. It's what I do. It's what I love to do. So if you're listening to the program and you have trees in your yard, and at Trees for You, we maintain trees. We prune them. If they need it, we remove them. But we also, John and Harriet, they actually assess trees. They're a consulting arborist. They do tree inventories, tree preservation plans. So, but if you have questions today about your trees, please call the station and we'll be glad to answer anything, any questions you might have about your trees.
Wonderful. How about you, John?
In order to be able to call into the station if you have any questions, the phone number is 727-441-3000.
Wonderful. John, introduce yourself, please.
Hello, my name is John Fuller. I'm with Fuller Mayberry Trees, and we also help Trees for You. And we've been doing a lot of tree estimates for removals, pruning, getting trees off of roofs, removing hazardous trees, and with Fuller Mayberry Trees, we look at a lot of situations where people want to do development. They want to do an addition on the back of their home, or they want to put in a commercial building. And they've got these pesky trees that are in the way of features that they'd like to add, like propane tanks, swimming pools, you know, the nice things that you expect to have in Florida. And there is a way, in most cases, to preserve some of the trees. And most of the communities in the area have tree preservation municipal code that is used to improve the canopy. And that's how they do it, through their regulations.
Well, thank you for that introduction. And our third guest, why don't we push the microphone over that way and tell us about yourself.
Hi, my name is Diana Watson, and I'm a proofreader. Now, I know the three of you deal with trees. Well, I love trees. I don't find errors in terms of trees, however. That's not my specialty, but I'm really good. If you've got anything to print, anything like a website that you want to make sure is reading correctly or reading well, somebody you know has written a book and wants to get it vetted, that's what I do. I love it. I absolutely love doing those things. So.
That sounds like a lot of fun to me, Diana. I gotta confess, I wondered how I could ever get paid to do that. So how in the world did you get into proofreading as a career?
Well, I started a long time ago. So we're not gonna talk about a long time ago. We're gonna talk about just recently. I decided I'd gone into a bit of a retirement and then I was bored, silly. So what I did was I went from business to business in Clearwater and in Dunedin. And I asked people, do you ever use proofreaders? And that didn't get me any jobs, but that's how I found these guys who, you know, BCC coupon books and all that. And he said, I need a proofreader. So I said, I would be happy to oblige. And it's gone on from there, and I've got clients, I'm working on a book right now, and so forth.
How wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a great way to fall into something that you love doing.
Yeah, it is. It's great.
So, Alan, could we ever use a proofreader in our job?
Well, actually, I was going to ask Diana, one thing I wanted to mention to the audience is please check out treesforyou.com, our website, but I wonder if we should have Diana proofread it first.
I think that we should have had Diana come look at this.
I'm pretty sure there's some typos on there.
I know of one. But Diana, that is a good idea. We actually are going to be overhauling our website and, because John and Harriet are new and we've got some new ideas. But we would like, we do have some videos and a lot of helpful information for about maintaining your trees, caring for your trees. So we would encourage everybody to take a look at treesforyou.com.
Would I be allowed to use that information towards the trees in my yard?
Absolutely.
Oh, there's a good info on how to fertilize your palms properly, things to look at, how to look at your trees for health, structure. We also, by the way, Trees for You offers free assessment of your trees. We don't charge for that. We will come out and look at them, give you an unbiased opinion of the health and structure of your trees. And this doesn't always lead to an estimate for work. This is just to kind of give you an opinion of what you have. Trees healthy if they need work. And that's without doing an estimate. We do provide that. It's on our website. We'll offer that. But there is some real good information on there about trees that just general information, yes. But Diana, I think I'm going to get your information because I would like you to look over the site. And I'm curious myself because I'm a reader. I read, I've always loved literature. And we write reports, technical reports. And I'm curious as to your background. I took Comp 101 and, you know, 102. Is that what you need? Is that what your background is, obviously, to do proofreading?
Well, actually, I mean, I have a background that's great from the viewpoint of knowing different languages and, you know, making English really work properly. And I have an eagle eye for errors.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
Well, I'm curious about your other languages. Do you speak other languages besides English?
Not fluently anymore. I used to speak French quite fluently. German, I lived in Germany with my family. So I spoke a certain amount of German. I learned some Russian, and I love the Russian language. It's a very feeling, it's a very full language. It occupies the whole mouth when you're pronouncing it.
Fantastic. Anyway. Yeah. We could swap language stories. John here speaks some German, and I speak Mandarin. And
how'd you learn Mandarin?
My parents were missionaries in Taiwan, and I grew up there. So my Mandarin's a little rusty, but I can still communicate.
Yeah, that's been a while. Great.
Yeah. So John, you haven't had much to say so far. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the Schwarzwald and your family connection and why you're so happy now that you're an arborist?
Well, the Black Forest, I think, is that's what you're referring to, the Der Schwarzwald.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Something like
Schwarzwald
that.
Schwarzwald is it's near the French border, and the Black Forest, you know, it had a reputation in medieval times. And prior to that, it wasn't so well known. And I think it was around the year 60 where the Romans sent four legions up into the Germanic areas to try and find resources, people, in other words, to contribute to the labor in the Roman Empire, and they disappeared. And it wasn't until about 12 years ago that a farmer started finding a few objects in some fields, and that got some attention from the archaeologists. They started searching and searching. They finally put together the picture of what happened, and it was a cover-up. It was probably one of the world's oldest cover-ups, because the Romans, two or three years later, sent a couple more legions up there find out what happened. They didn't know. And they found just devastation, of course, the remains of those legions. And it was such a black eye that they didn't want people to know about it. So they took every single bone, fragment of armor, weapon, everything that they could find, and threw it in the largest, deepest sinkhole they could find. And that's why it wasn't discovered until 2,000 years later.
So are you saying that the German barbarians managed to overwhelm Roman forces and hide the evidence, kind of?
That's absolutely what happened. Well, what they did is they lured them into an area of the Black Forest, and it was much more extensive than it covered a much larger area. And the army had to stretch out because the woods were so thick. They were almost single file, and so they ended up being, it was probably more than a day's march from one end to the other of the column, and so they had no idea what was going on the other end, and they just got attacked from the flanks out of the woods.
And there's a little bit of ethnic pride here for you, because your family is from that region in Germany, right? Somewhere nearby?
Yeah, I grew up loving the forest, loving the woods, and you know, it was not pride or a source of violence. It was place of peace.
Right.
It was, you know, it was where you went to be one with nature, be one with God. Mm-hmm. And anyways, there's a lot of family traditions that were passed on to me that relate to outdoor living because of that.
Yeah. Wonderful, thank you. So back to Tree World, all of us in this room, it sounds like, have had maybe more than one career. I would venture to guess. I know, Alan, you worked with the city for some decades, right? Has that been your entire career?
Entire career, 40 years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So essentially, I've had really one career.
Yes. One career with some different groups, right? Because you've worked for different cities.
Yeah, I worked, other than Clearwater, the city of Dunedin for 4.5 years, and I helped Safety Harbor. So, you know, and John's, you know, talking about the Black Forest, you know, the famous forest in Germany. But my work has always been the urban forest. So, you know, we cherish the true forest of the world. So if you think about United States, so we have about less than 3% of the virgin forest left, which is sad, you know, the virgin forest. So everything's different in the old-growth forest, you know. Once the old-growth forest is replaced, it's vastly different. It's, if you know, when people go to the Ocala National Forest, you know, and they think, wow, well, that's a forest. But it's 90 years old or 70 years old. Essentially, Florida was logged over completely by about the 1930s, starting around, I think, 1860 or 70. The whole South was essentially logged over. So, you know, when we talk about a forest, even though you may go there and you think, wow, I'm in the middle of nowhere, I'm right in the middle of this forest. Well, that's a second growth forest. And it's not a true forest. So when we, trees are much different in those, everything's different there. And that's significant to us because it doesn't have the characteristics of an old growth forest. So trees are different, tree structure different. I wanna talk a minute about an urban forest. So the challenges that an urban forester faced that I had when I worked for those years, and that they face now, the city of Clearwater, the city of Dunedin, the city of Safety Harbor, when Pinellas County, which is the most densely populated county in Florida, and I think the fourth most densely populated in the United States, in order to preserve tree canopy, what John talks about, the spirituality of a forest. And when you stand in an old growth forest, like if you go to the Joyce Kilmer Forest or something, one of those preserves that are left, and you just get that feeling, you know, the ground is all spongy, you know. So, you know, to try to get some sense of that feeling, and in an area like Pinellas County that is so urbanized, and every year it gets more urbanized, every year, there's more impervious added. We build up, you know, that creates shading, and it trees get crowded out more so every year. There's less space for trees, even though you know, you hear talk otherwise. The fact is, trees are getting the space for trees is becoming less every year. If you look at large cities, that there's your proof. Cities have ordinances that try to prevent that. You know, they try to get tree replacements. I'm a critic, even though I've written tree ordinances for three cities, and on paper it looks good. Hey, you know, they take trees out, they have to replace trees. But it's never the same because those trees don't have space to grow. And even though we take trees out and we take a forest out and then we leave little strips, you know, the public shopping center, and we put some oak trees back in those strips. There's not sufficient above ground space or rooting area for those trees ever to grow again. And what's missing in urban areas, if we go back to think of a forest, is the layers of vegetation that a true forest would have, the three layers of understory, ground cover, and all the communities of wildlife and the organisms that coexist in a real healthy ecosystem in the soil. So those whole communities. So urban area is a very harsh environment. It's very hot. It's a microclimate of heat and compacted soils. And the challenge for urban foresters, and they know it if they're good, is to try to create somehow an environment that these trees can survive in. And it's selecting species and trying to get soils that and space and matching trees with the conditions where they can actually survive. And it's very difficult. And that's the challenge. And a lot of times, the arborist is at odds with landscape architects, and not to knock them, they're listening, because some of them are very much in tune, but they're at odds with the maybe developers that have a vision of certain looks they want, and they're just not attainable. So what's difficult, trees make cities livable, and that's just an honest statement. You take away the trees that line our streets or put around our house and in shopping centers, and that they soften the effects of, you know, of hard surfaces, reflective surfaces, glares of storefronts, buildings, glass, asphalt, and they moderate microclimate. So the challenge always is we have to give trees space, and if we don't provide space, then we eventually evolve into, just a lot of concrete and asphalt. And trees get relegated to little, what you see, these little grates in cities, a little grate and a little ginkgo tree or something.
Well, it looks kind of pitiful, right?
So anyways... That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, Alan, your story ties in nicely with something that John would like to talk about. But Alan, your segue is great because you're Clearwater born and bred, right? You've watched the development.
Born and plant, yeah.
So you've seen the changes through the years of the growing urban environment and the removal of a lot of trees.
Well, right? Let me just say this. When I was in Boy Scouts, we used to go way out in the woods, which was in camp in what is now countryside.
Way out in the woods.
It was
countryside.
Way outside of town.
Right.
Might as well have been the Smoky Mountains. Yeah.
Well, and for, you know, and development is, it can be a good thing. It's necessary. People move and build and develop, and then we watch the trees just go down. However, there are local groups that advocate for reforestation, and one of them is a group that John and I recently became involved with called Tree Inc. And it stands for Tampa Bay Reforestation Environmental Effort. John is the new vice president of this group. Would you like to say a little bit about it, John?
Well, we've been planting trees for 40 years, and I'm new with the group. Actually, the group was founded by William Moriety and
Bob Scheibel,
and
I believe.
Bob Scheibel, who's now retired from Tree Inc. And they have planted, when y'all are driving down I-75 and you're enjoying the nature flipping by, most of those trees in this area were planted by this group. They've planted over 30,000 trees. But I also want to shout out to Keep Pinellas Beautiful, because they're literally the next generation that are transforming the environment around here. And they have activities going on every single weekend, even in things that are occurring during the week. If anybody just isn't getting enough nature or enough exercise and likes to get their hands dirty while they're getting their exercise and just doesn't have enough dirt in their little square concrete box. Go look up Keep Pinellas Beautiful, because they will sign you up and they'll give you gloves, they'll give you a shovel.
And sometimes even a t-shirt.
And sometimes even a t-shirt. There's also Keep Tampa Bay Beautiful, the brother organization.
Which, by the way, are both subdivisions of Keep America Beautiful.
Keep America Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Very good. I think we all want to keep America beautiful.
That's right.
Yeah.
The green. Green.
Keep it a green. And there we do have a tree planting coming up that I'm going to be involved in, which is at the Folly Farm Nature Preserve in Safety Harbor. It's right off of McMullen Booth on MLK. And we'll be planting, I think, 40 different species, more than a couple dozen different species out there.
All native species, too.
All native. And we just put in a cypress dome out there. And the city of Tampa is planting another cypress dome planting. So you can find that information at Keep Tampa Bay Beautiful. Keep Hillsborough. Was it Keep Tampa Bay?
Keep
beautiful.
Tampa Bay, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And but anyways, the Folly Farm planting is on the 26th of August.
And you can probably find information about that on Keep Pinellas Beautiful's website, yep. And they have a meetup group as well, I believe.
Yeah, they do.
So go to meetup if you use that.
Yep. Also, I just wanted to mention something. You know, Alan has been my mentor, and he has taught me so much about trees. But like he always says, most tree problems can be solved with water. And particularly during the dry season, no need to water now, unless you're in some areas around here that are still dry. And but before you water, you might want to consider putting some mulch down. And you put that mulch down, you protect the trunk from your nephew with the weed whacker, and that'll keep your tree from dying. It also keeps the soil moisture higher. It encourages positive growth of soil bacteria, soil fungi. Some of you may have heard of mycorrhizae. Those are an extension of tree roots. And they're the key thing that help trees collect so many nutrients and so much water out of the environment. It's actually a fungus. The type of mulch you use, it can be the leaves right off the tree. It can be that palm that you want to cut down that's dead, and just let it lay there for about 18 months. If you can put it on the side of your house, and it makes great mulch. You can just pull it apart with your bare hands after a couple years. You can get mulch from the county, and you can use your lawn clippings for mulch. Anyways,
yeah,
I digress.
No,
you know,
you speak the truth.
Yeah.
I want to just add on the subject of watering. I always say to homeowners and students, 98-99% of the solution to every tree problem is water. we are entering, we've been in a long drought period, and I remember back, I think it was 97-98, we had an extended drought, and at the time I was city forester, Clearwater, and we lost about 37 large laurel oak trees in Crest Lake Park, and we lost about 400 trees at Lake Chautauqua Park. And at that time, I got a water tanker, and we started watering the trees at Crest Lake. And at that time, it was the St. Pete Times, not the Tampa Bay Times, but they did an article. And I talked to some people at the University of Florida, and they said, you know, you got to water. And, you know, people always think, well, I got to water my newly planted tree, but every tree needs water during droughts. And so I started monitoring trees throughout the year, not just, you know, in March and April when we get droughts, but when we typically, we've been getting into a pattern where we get, you know, winter droughts, and they kind of blend into a long spring drought. And that extended period without water, then we get into the hot, you know, high temperatures in March, April, May, like we had this year. And I know there's more trees today that are, you know, dying, succumbing to, even though we're getting rain now, the stress, what happens is these trees get stressed in March and April, and then they become very vulnerable to secondary pathogens like our malaria and epoxylin canker, and they're dying. And I saw a couple today, right, actually, I was on my way here. So it's very important if you have trees in your yard, and if you're kind of pay attention to weather, we're getting dry, you know, we're not getting a lot of rains in the winter, and then on in the early spring, you know, drag a hose out and water your big oak tree. It just once a week. I know it sounds crazy, but it's very serious. Keeping avoiding extended droughts, because if you have St. Augustine grass particularly, those little rains we get are rarely going to benefit an oak tree, even though the roots are pretty close to the surface. St. Augustine is a very aggressive plant. It's going to catch most of that rainwater unless it's a really soaking rain, which we just don't seem to get anymore. By the way, I do want to mention a couple things. Forgot to give the Trees for You number. If you do want to get estimates on tree work or just have us look at your trees, we'd be glad to come out. The phone number is area code 727-744-0116. And I want to thank some of my co-workers through the years at Clearwater, particularly the arborists right now, doing a great job trying to save trees through their efforts. Danny McDonald, Mike Quincy, a couple of really, Matt Anderson, some really stellar tree people work for the city of Clearwater right now. Roy Thoman do great job out there in the world of arboriculture.
I think people don't really know or appreciate what a resource is available through the city or county arborist.
Yeah, there's so many of them. Craig Wilson, Dunedin, Tarpon Springs, Shannon Brewer. There's just really some real good, and they are generally available to help people with tree issues in their cities. The county extension is a great resource for people to bring in plant samples, and you know, they'll give you advice on your trees and you know, plants.
County extension, that would be IFAS.
Yeah, yeah, the county extension down here. So Diana,
yes,
we're going to talk to you about taking a look at our website soon.
Well, go for it.
Yeah. We do want to mention the owner.
I'm enthusiastic about what I do, much as you are about what you do.
Yeah. Well, we love, we are passionate about trees. And, you know, we try to, of course, we don't like taking them down. You know, trees, which typically, you know, I've done a number of Arbor Day talks, and we always extol all the benefits, and there's so many. You know, there's a lot of environmental, ecological, they conserve energy, and there's also a lot of social benefits of trees. But trees can become a liability. There's hidden defects. Urban trees, you know, it's a artificial environment for trees. So trees grow differently in an old-growth forest than they do in an urban area, and that's one of our specialties. So we are passionate about it, but we do like to preserve trees. And structural pruning is a way to prune out defects. So it's one of the services we offer. But yeah, I know you're passionate. So everybody should be passionate about what they do, right?
Well, of course.
I mean, it's good to be passionate about your work, I think, no matter what we do.
I agree. And I do see a little bit of correlation between Diana's job and what we do. Now, there are some differences too, but one thing that's I think we have in common is sometimes we can correct tree defects, especially if we catch them young, and do some good pruning to establish good structure. And Diana is all about catching defects in writing, correct? Mm-hmm. The difference is, you know, you don't have to ditch an entire manuscript, right, Diana? You can usually fix it, bring it back to life, rejuvenate it with what you do with your proofreading.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Oh, yeah.
Bill owns a diving then. Go ahead.
Cool. Anyway, I have an author right now who's written an absolutely fascinating book. A novel, but you know, she has questions about her ending, and when I got to her ending, I had questions about her ending too. So we're going to get together and talk it over and get her taking a look at what she, you know, what she has wanted to do with it.
That's wonderful. So it sounds like you're not just proofreading.
No, I also do copy editing.
Very good. Keep talking to me.
Okay, which is great, because copy editing is simply you're taking text that might not communicate the way you want it to, and then suggesting some rewrites on it.
That's a great skill to have. Not just the eagle eye, but right. also understanding the structure and how to improve the content.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly.
That's great. So what's one of your favorite projects that you've done recently? Sounds like you're really enjoying the one with the novel that you're doing right now.
Definitely.
Yeah. What else do you really enjoy about the type of work that you do?
Well, in the over the past, you know, the, let's say the past 10 years, I've worked on a number of projects for books of substance, books that deal with management technology, books that deal with historical facts. I'm fascinated by anything I read, you know, so it's always a pleasure.
So that's part of the fun, too, is getting to read things that you wouldn't normally, right?
Yeah,
I know, exactly. I kind of get that. I love reading, too. We have a bunch of readers in this group today, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
And I believe we have a new guest that has joined us. And would you like to introduce yourself to us, sir?
Yeah, my name is Bill Olive. I represent a clinic up in Tarpon Springs. It's a diabetes treatment clinic, and we're located across the street from the hospital in Tarpon Springs. And we're our medical director is affiliated with the hospital, and we have a treatment for diabetes that is kind of a cutting edge thing that has had unbelievable outcomes for patients. We had a patient in there today who finished her treatment, and she said she's seen marked improvement. We've gotten her off her noontime insulin dose, and her energy level has skyrocketed. And so we see outcomes like that many times. The reason I'm so passionate about it is because I'm a type 2 diabetic, and I was diagnosed about 15 years ago. And like everybody who's, I guess when they first get diagnosed, you know, it doesn't really mean a lot. I didn't feel any different, but over a period of time, diabetes is a real problem for people. It destroys organs, it destroys the vascular system. It's the number one cause of adult blindness, kidney disease. And so if you have diabetes, it's very important that you do something about it. There is no cure for diabetes, but our treatment has been able to actually slow the progression and in some cases even reverse some of the things that people have gotten into. One of the areas is that eventually diabetes will play havoc on your kidneys and you end up with chronic kidney disease. And that means, you know, I guess that the worst case scenario would be going in and, you know, and having to do dialysis, you know, sometimes 2, 3, 4, 5 times a week. So I can tell you what happened to me. I went in there, I had terrible neuropathy. After about 6 months, I'd totally gotten rid of all my neuropathy. None, zero, had no pain whatsoever, no numbness
in
my
feet. What is neuropathy?
Neuropathy is a pain that is created by the nervous system, and it is commonplace with diabetes, especially peripheral. In other words, your arms and your fingers and your toes.
How about your ankle? Because I get neuropathy there in my ankle.
Yeah, you can
from
get
the diabetes. Like I feel pain right on the
absolutely.
Side.
Absolutely. You know, it's that's part of your extremities, and that's usually where it. It ends up affecting the most of the, but also one of the ways to measure diabetes is an A1C number. I went in with an 8.6, and I just got my blood work done yesterday, and I'm down to 6.5.
Wow!
So it's had a massive decrease in my A1C, which is the kind of the barometer of how you're doing with diabetes. Also. You know, diabetes, I said before, it's the number one cause of adult blindness because it's a vascular issue. And, you know, the eyes are full of microvascular, networks that because the eye requires a lot of blood. And because you have diabetes, that vascular system is affected, and people end up in a terrible situation, actually start seeing blur at night, they can't drive, and it's, you know, my eyesight has actually improved in the last 6 months. I was a 20/40, now I'm 20/25. I'm almost back to 20/20, and I'm 75 years old, so that's
wow,
huge.
Wow, you look great.
Well, thank you. I feel like, I don't feel 75, but that's the way, unfortunately, the calendar tells me that's how old I am. But it is a chance to really get people, get your life back. Because diabetes is, you know, it's a progressive disease. It's just going to stay with you forever and get worse and worse and worse unless you do something about it.
Any questions?
I'm interested in this cutting edge treatment that you said y'all are doing up at the clinic. That sounds really interesting to me. How is it different than typical?
Well, typical treatment for diabetes has been for the last 40 years. You sit down and talk to a doctor, and he says, okay, you need to exercise. You need to watch your diet. You know, I sit down with my doctor, and he says, don't eat anything white. Don't eat bread. Don't eat rice. Don't eat pasta. I'm going, oh, wow, you know.
Take away all the joy of life.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. and then medication, you know. He said, we can put you on some medication. And what's happened to diabetes growth in the last 15 years is up 350%. So obviously that's not working. And that's been the only treatment for diabetes. What we have done is after about 7 or 8 years of deep research and many, many millions of dollars in different kind of blind studies, and we use FDA-approved equipment. Our treatment is paid for by Medicare and almost every insurance. If it's a normal insurance policy, you know, some HMOs, they don't pay for it. But you know, we could talk about HMOs later on because that's another story. You know, everybody wants to get on a HMO because it's cheap, but then all of a sudden, you know, when you go to the hospital, you end up paying, you know, big time. So, but it pays, you know, even TRICARE, which is the veterans, the medical insurance, of the military, pays for it. So, what we do is we microdose insulin, like the pancreas. The pancreas is the organ that generates the insulin. What happens when you eat? Or you ingest sugar in the form of carbohydrates, let's say pasta or whatever, the body converts it to glucose, and the glucose then ingest into the blood, and the pancreas is notified, hey, we need some insulin because we've got to get this glucose into the cells. That's the power cell of the fuel is the glucose. Once it gets into the cell, the mitochondria converts it into ATP, which is the actual fuel of the cell. And when someone has insulin resistance, you heard that term before, is the pancreas is not producing the insulin in the doses and the frequency that it needs to digest this food and get the sugar into the cells. So what we do is we microdose and we imitate what the pancreas does. Every 8 minutes, the pancreas releases insulin. So we have this little patented, and it, by the way, we have two patents on it. It's actually a little pump. We don't hang a bag or anything. It's just a little pump that you can carry around. You know, our people are watching TV and walking around the clinic, and you know, it's not like you're tied to one place. But we do have some very comfortable chairs and it's a very, very serene environment. But they sit down and they get this insulin infused into their blood. And the difference is when someone takes an insulin shot, they take 2 cc's of insulin, shoot it in their leg or their stomach or whatever. It takes forever for the body to absorb that and get that into the blood. But when you ingest it and microdose it in small, small doses into the blood, then it's there, and when the glucose and the insulin get together, they allow the sugar to get into the cells, and the cell starts working. When the cells work, you know, like we were when we were young, you know, The body is designed to restore, repair. We all know the body can repair itself. You cut yourself, you've seen, you know, maybe a scab, and the next 2 or 3 weeks later, you can't even tell where the, you know, where the cut was. But the body will restore itself if it has the power in the cells. As we get older, and because you're, you know, because of diabetes, we don't get that insulin into the bloodstream, and so what we do is we actually ingest it in microdoses. And people come in, a treatment would last maybe 2.5 hours in a very comfortable scenario. We got some nice easy chairs, you can lay back, take a nap if you want to. And over a period of a year, we'll probably get someone to a point where they only need to have one treatment every maybe 6 weeks.
That sounds like that makes a lot of sense. And by the way, I taught high school biology for 27 years.
Right.
I really liked your explanation of how all of that works with the cells and the mitochondria and the ATP. That's great to hear. I was curious as you were talking, this sounds like it's very effective with type 2 diabetes. Has it been used to treat type 1 as well?
Absolutely. Because type 1, unfortunately, the pancreas does not make insulin at all.
Right.
So, yeah, we've had people come in with type 1 and the same symptoms, neuropathy, you know, eyesight failing, you know, cardiovascular issues, you know. we have a medical director at our clinic who's a cardiologist. He says 80% of my patients are diabetic because it's a vascular disease, you know, and we're not getting, you know, the blood where it needs to go because, you know, they've got all that sugar in there. It's destroying the inside of the vessel. So it gets to a point when, you know, you've got to do something. You can't just sit back and let, because it will literally destroy your body. Let me again talk to you about our clinic. It's United Metabolic Treatment Centers. We have a phone number, 727-234-9100. Give us a call. You can set up an appointment and sit down and have a consultation with one of our practitioners, and they will explain the situation and see if this treatment is right for you. We also have a website, has a tremendous amount of information on it. It's diabetes, www.diabetestreatmentcenter.com. diabetestreatmentcenter.com. A lot of information, and you can also get the information on how to contact us there.
That sounds like it could help a lot of people.
Yeah, this is my friend Mark. He has diabetes, right? He didn't hear everything. I don't expect you to go over everything
right
again, but it's revolutionary. It's groundbreaking. I like what you said. You said something that I liked that I forgot already.
Well, gee, I wish you knew what it was.
You said groundbreaking, revolutionary.
Cutting edge.
It is.
That's cutting edge. I like the way you worded it better. She's a biology teacher for 25 years.
And now I'm an arborist.
Now she's an arborist. And your first name?
I'm Harriet. I'm with Fuller Mayberry Tree Consulting.
Right. And then this is Bill. He owns the diabetic clinic. This is Mark. He owns a dog sitting company.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
And I'm not going to make a joke.
Go ahead.
You got a professional, and then dog sitting.
Hey.
Isn't that professional?
Yeah.
That's a profession.
That's
right?
A profession. That's right. My nurse practitioner is a big dog fan, so you should talk to her.
I don't have a microphone. I speak, but I don't.
Okay, dog sitting guy. But no. Talk to the diagnostic clinic,
yeah, Mark,
and the biology.
Do you have type 2 diabetes?
I do have type 2.
How long have you had it?
Well, I was diagnosed a little over 3 years ago in February.
Tell them what you do, basically simplify it.
Well,
what do I do simplified?
Not you, hey.
How do I get this back? We're taking each. There we go.
Come here.
Mark, what we do, we have a kind of a groundbreaking, cutting-edge treatment for diabetes. It's been around for a long time. We actually, the original infusion started in Sweden about 75 years ago. But they didn't have the tools that we have today. They didn't have the ability to run these tests and do all the diagnostics. So about 7 years ago, a couple of guys took this procedure and then spent a ton of money proving it up, doing all the studies, getting Medicare approved, all that kind of stuff. And there's probably maybe 100 articles written about how this works, okay? But in essence, what it does is it's a treatment that allows your body to kind of reestablish itself when it comes to handling diabetes. Handling diabetes is simply having insulin running through your blood that takes the sugar out of the blood and turns it into energy for the cells. And you have to have insulin to do that. And the pancreas, which is our problem, I have type 2 diabetes also, is getting old and tired, and it's not producing the frequency and the amount of insulin that it needs to do, for the body needs to do that. So when you restore that, it's actually a metabolic issue. We're restoring the metabolism of the cell. We're getting sugar or fuel into the cell. It was not getting in there before because of insulin resistance and because of lack of insulin. Now it's getting into the cells, and you start feeling better. You've got better energy. Your eyesight gets better, because it's not just a cure for diabetes. When your cells are healthy, all kinds of great things happen. Your hair starts growing back. I don't know if we can do that or not, but we
can. No, it's not going to happen.
Do me a favor. Tell him what you do, because really, I kid with him. He's my best friend.
Right.
But he really does provide a good service, because they say anybody that has a dog lives longer. Yep. And you want to have someone responsible, because that's the one, that's part of your family. Right? So yeah. He's very responsible. That, if you gave me one word to describe Mark and Diana, would be the word responsible. So who would you want to watch your dog? Someone responsible.
Sure.
Tell them what you do, Mark.
Well, our business is called Serenity Dog Services, and we provide not only walking, of course, but sitting, if you go out of town, whatever the case. Also training, basic training. I have had dogs mainly for the greater part of my life since I was a child. I've gone to obedience school, which basically trained me, not my dog. Trained me to train my dog. So I am familiar with the basic commands and everything. So anything in those aspects. We also have cats. So, you know, if it was cat sitting or anything, taking care of it, the cats can take care of themselves a lot better and can be left longer. But for the most part, my wife and I do that as something that we love to do. We love animals. So it's just a business that we keep ourselves busy with and enjoy meeting the different animals. And my wife's trying to tell me something right now, but maybe she can say it better than I. Getting back to diabetes, though, I hope my doctor's not listening, because I haven't taken a shot of insulin in over 2 months. I've also lost 70 pounds in the last year.
70?
70. Wow. Yeah, if I showed you my license, you'd say, is this the same person? But wow. Yeah, so I feel a lot better. I don't feel any need for, and I check my blood sugar. My blood sugar ranges anywhere from the 90s up until around 110 or so, give or take.
That's really good. That's really good.
Congratulations. That's
thanks,
wonderful.
But it's modifying my diet a little. I might on occasion once a month have a Coke or something like that. Aside from that, I drink soda water, what have you. Coffee with cream.
Water is what you should drink.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Very good.
But I mean, that's fantastic. And then what he has is dog sitting. Anybody needs a dog sitter, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, they can reach us at 727-831-3518. They're also in your coupon book. And my number, that was my wife's, she's primary. And secondary is 617-839-6908 is my phone number. So that's the best way to get a hold of us. There are posters around the Pinellas area, too, that you might...
Very good.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.